Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps the truth forever, who does not forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue by singing Psalter 368, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. 368, 3, 4, and 5. After the confession of faith, we will sing Psalter 265, the third stanza, 265 verse 3, after we have confessed. In communion with the Church of all ages and places, our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and also with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31, questions and answers 83, 84, and 85, as follows.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Question 83. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer. The preaching of the Holy Gospel and the Christian discipline, or excommunication out of the Christian Church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel? Answer. Thus, when, according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that, whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel God will judge them, both in this and in the life to come. Question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer thus. When according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who are thereto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of their sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendments, are again received as members of Christ and his church.
Thank you.
Let's open our Bibles in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18. And we will read verses 15 till the end of the chapter. Matthew 18, starting in verse 15. And the word of God comes to us as follows.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him alone. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest thou not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. To thus far God's word.
Let us pray. Living God in heaven, for the second time on this Sabbath day we come together as a congregation in prayer to thee. And what a wonderful gift it is, Lord, that thou hast opened a way to the throne of grace in thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we not have to speak to the ceiling, but that we know that we are praying to a living God. Oh, thou hast revealed thyself in the scriptures, and thou hast already spoken to us out of the scriptures. O living God, we thank thee that thou hast revealed in particular thyself in thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's born in Bethlehem in Israel, whose cross stands in Jerusalem outside of the city, who has paid the full price to be a Savior for the greatest of the sinners also today. And that thou art still calling people to spread the word of God all over the world, also in this congregation, and that we are together this afternoon to listen what thou hast to speak to us. O Lord, give us a heart filled with expectation. Give us a heart filled with hunger and thirst after thee. O Lord, it's all dependent on thy Holy Spirit also in listening and preaching. Open our hearts, open the hearts of our children. O Lord, when we have to speak about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, oh, they are so weighty. When we realize these truths thou hast revealed in the scriptures to us, O God, give us wisdom. But also open our eyes, like we have heard this morning. We are whether under the law or under the gospel, under Christ. And Lord, we pray, grant us to see the truth of our hearts and lives. But, O Lord Jesus, reveal thyself to every sinner who is still under the law. Oh, convince us about our sin. Convince us, Lord, about the sin of our sin. Convince us that we cannot stand before thee. Convince us about the truth that our sins are blaming thee every time. And oh, convince us about the truth that without faith we only can sin. Convince us, Lord. Thou knowest how deceitful our hearts are. And we, when we look to the world and we look to other people and we say, oh, and we think, when I do not those sins, I'm not so bad. But oh, Holy Spirit, please. Oh, we pray, open our eyes for how thou art looking to sin. It's so totally different as we are doing. But also, Lord, as we have heard and read out of the scriptures, when Peter was asking how many times I have to forgive my brother, 7 times, and thou hast told him 70 times 7. Because that's how thou art, O God. Thou art abundantly pardoned, O God. And when we come to thee for forgiveness, like we will hear in this afternoon, thou hast given that wonderful promise in scriptures that thou art willing to forgive all our sins for Christ's sake. O Lord Jesus, thou hast given thy life for sinners like we are. And we have heard about these things and we are familiar with the words. But oh, we pray, open our eyes to see the truth, to see thee, O Lord Jesus. Fill our hearts and souls with thy love, with thy presence. That's what we need, Lord, more and more and deeper and deeper. And we pray, remember us as a congregation. But not only as a congregation, remember the church we are part of. Although the church is the rest in the Netherlands, but also, Lord, we pray for the church. It's not ours, it's thy church. O Lord, thou knowest everything what's necessary on all the different levels, synod, council, all the committees. And we pray, Lord, for the education of the pastors at the universities. We pray for the professors. We pray for the students. Oh, work mightily in their hearts and souls. Oh, Lord, please keep us as a church close to thy word. Oh, how easily, Lord, we can find other ways to please people or ourselves. Remember thy church also here in Canada, we pray, Lord. Also in our community, remember thy servants, remember the congregations. Oh, what a responsible task thou hast given us. Oh Lord, we will hear that in this afternoon. To use the keys of the kingdom. Oh Lord, thou hast given it in the hands of sinful man. And we pray, open the hearts and the lives and the eyes of thy servants, Lord, to understand the truth of the scriptures. Oh, when it is not according to thy word, it will all be in vain and it will testify against us as preachers. We pray, Lord, revive thy church, revive thy people in our midst and in our communities, in our country. Yes, the entire world. We pray for the work of mission. We pray for the work of evangelists all over the world. Thou knowest them, Lord. Oh, we pray, increase the number and call again people, young people, to the ministry. Oh, fill their hearts and souls with the love for thee, O Lord Jesus, but also for lost people. Far away or close by, may we pray, Lord, also for the Open Doors ministry. And we get more and more involved also as a congregation, and we have heard about the labors. Oh, we pray when every Friday those people are gathering together and will hear a portion of the scriptures. We pray, Lord, oh, open their hearts. Open their hearts and their eyes to see who thou art. In the midst of all their poor circumstances, Lord, oh, bless all the labors. Our eyes are unto thee. Oh, it's never because of our efforts, but it is only because we can only but be means. Remember, Lord, our governor, our governments, locally, provincially, federal government. Oh, Father, thou knowest, give us as a church to be a witness in this country. Lord, we pray for thy people Israel. Oh, thou hast given in the scriptures such great promises. And we are waiting for the fulfillment. That thou art opening the eyes of Jewish people to see the Messiah. Oh, Lord Jesus, thou art born out of a Jewish woman. And Lord, so we pray, as thou hast promised in Scripture, that would be a blessing not only for the Jews, but that would be a blessing for the entire church. Oh Lord, please fulfill thy word and open their eyes and bless all the labors also among them. Be with us in this afternoon. Help us, Lord, in listening. Help us in preaching, in explaining, give us carefulness, give us love, give us thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray, as we have read it out of the scriptures, Lord, there were two or three gathered in my name, together in prayer, thou art in their midst. Oh, precious Lord, please remember us in mercy, remember our children, remember the whole congregation, as thou knowest what each and every one stands in need of. Lord, help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing together Psalter 349. All stanzas. And in between there will be the collections, and may the Lord bless you and also your gifts. While we will sing Psalter 349, all stanzas. Dear congregation, we continue our instruction out of the Heidelberg Catechism. And let me give again a brief overview of the structure to understand what we are talking about. Heidelberg Catechism starts with that question about our only comfort in life and in death. And also, it explains how and what is necessary to have knowledge and to know that only comfort in life and in death. Three parts. Knowledge of our misery, knowledge of deliverance in Christ, and knowledge of the thankfulness. Then the Heidelberg Catechism explains how we get that knowledge of our misery by the law of God in the hands of Christ. And according to the scriptures, comes to that conclusion that all men are perished in Adam. The question is asked in Lord's Day 7, but who are saved? And that's an important question. And then is the answer, not only those who know. No, the question is, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? So it's about the extension of the work of Christ. And then is the answer, no, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. And that's the key word. A true faith. It's only by a true faith, like we have heard this morning, we are in Christ. And so the Heidelberg Catechism starts to explain what is faith and what is a Christian belief in all the articles about Jesus Christ, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have all dealt with that already. And then the question came to us, what's the result of that faith? What's the fruit of that faith? Why we need to believe all these things? What's the fruit of that? And we came in Lord's Day 23 to that so very important answer, that I am righteous before God. That I am righteous before God. And then the question came, but how God is working that faith? So we have seen what is faith and what does faith believe? And who's working that faith? God through his Holy Spirit and through his word. And then the question came, but how God is strengthening that faith? Through the sacraments. God has given us the sacraments of holy baptism, and we have spoken about it. And we have spoken about the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. Last week we finished that part. And then again the question was, for whom, and it's 2 weeks ago, that for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Again, that very important personal question. No, it's not for everyone, like we have seen from Lord's Day 7, question 20. No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. And so, who are allowed to come to the Lord's table and who not? And then was in the answer that the church need to use the keys of the kingdom of heaven for those who are not allowed to come to the Lord's table, who are confessing members, who are living in sin, in the end of question 82. And then we can think, yes, but why we are confessing these things as a church? Oh, not because they are in the Heidelberg Catechism. That's but a book of man. No, because of the scriptures. The Lord Jesus is teaching us those things. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And children, maybe you remember this morning when we had catechism class, I was asking you, and I can also ask the little ones this afternoon, you know what is a key, yes? You know. But for what reason we are using a key? Why we are using a key? For fun? No. We are using a key to open a door, to unlock a door, isn't it? To get access. Or, when we go away, to lock the door and to close access. A key. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking about a key, not for a house, but for the kingdom of heaven. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And there you can find it. Matthew chapter 16. Where Jesus is asking the disciples, and in particular Peter, but whom say ye that I am? In verse 15, Matthew 16, verse 15. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then it comes. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter. Can we trust Peter? Peter was a sinner. But Jesus has spoken to him, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So children, Peter, he got a key to unlock heaven for people, for sinners, or to close heaven for sinners. That's what Jesus is speaking about. And that's the question we have to answer. What is the meaning of these words from the Lord Jesus? And we also read that other part from Matthew chapter 18. We did already. And Jesus is speaking the same words over there. And we read it when he speaks to his disciples. And when he says, and he tells them in verse 18 of chapter 18, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so the question comes to us this afternoon, what does that mean? When the Heidelberg Catechism has spoken about to use as a church to keep the Lord's table holy, to use the keys of the kingdoms of heaven. And the children have to learn this answer and this question for the next week. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? And then is the answer the preaching of the holy gospel and the Christian discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. And by these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. O congregation, when you realize this as a pastor, when you realize this as a consistory, to use the keys of the kingdom today, the key in your life has already opened a door or closed a door. No, not the door of this church. The door of heaven. the door of heaven. It happens today, this morning, this afternoon. Because that's the next question. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel. That's the first key. The preaching of the word. So actually what we are doing during a service is using the key. Unlock or lock. And that's a very heavy reality. The kingdom of heaven. We read in the scriptures that with the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven has come to this world. In Jesus Christ, the kingdom came. And we have the kingdom of heaven already in the scriptures revealed. And then you see the responsibility of preachers. Given, called by Christ. Dear congregation, when I say these words, when I speak these words, please pray for me. We have seen it already last Thursday night, how Paul was asking, pray for me. That utterance may be given unto me. Pray for me. Oh, I'm even worse than Paul. I like to please people. But oh, to be a true servant of Christ, using the keys of the kingdom. Nothing to add to the scriptures. Or to take away from the scriptures, but to preach the full truth that you might know when you will leave this building this afternoon, what's your destination? Please, congregation, you have to listen in that way. When you are going through that gate over there, think about 1-2 seconds about your destination. You know that. Because the keys of the kingdom were used during the preaching of the scriptures. And then we see congregation preaching. That's a proclamation. Preaching need to be clear. Preaching is not speak only pious words with a lot of emotion and feelings and all those things. Preaching is even not describing how God is converting people. Preaching is not a nice wish that we can say at the end of a sermon, now dear congregation, go home and pray if the Lord will fulfill all these things in your life. No. That's not preaching. Preaching of the word of God is using the keys of the kingdom. You have to know if the key is in your life has opened the gate or have closed the gate. Because maybe tomorrow you are before the judgment seat of Christ. And you need to know that today. What will be your destination for eternity? And therefore preaching of the word, congregation, that's proclaiming the word. That's proclaiming law and gospel. With the weight of your souls. And therefore God is calling human beings. It's sometimes unbelievable, congregation. It's really unbelievable. Oh, I am sure. And you would know what's in the hearts of God's servants. You would never talk with them. You would never believe them anymore. God has called sinful people to the ministry. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Why? That they also can bend their knees with, together with the congregation, to confess the sins and to live from the same grace as they have to preach. But still God's servants have to preach the word. Have to preach the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel congregation. And what's the Gospel? What's the message of the Gospel? It's so beautiful how our fathers has given that answer. When according to the command of Christ, it's not of humans, of a church, but it is of Christ, like we have seen. It is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. To the believers. Faith. Oh, congregation, what is faith? Oh, we have spoken about it time and again. But faith, that's faith in Christ. There is no faith without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no faith without the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ out of the scriptures in our lives. Oh, be careful. Be careful. When people start to convince you that there can be spiritual life without the knowledge of Christ. We have heard it this morning. Paul says, through the law I am dead for the law, and death the way how he could live for God. And that's also in the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, that to all and every believer, whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by faith, all their sins are really forgiven. That's a wonderful message. Oh, how often we think it's a whole story in human lives. No, our fathers have, when they listen carefully to the Bible, they give that beautiful answer. That a sinner, when he receives the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all my sins are forgiven. Are forgiven. And what's that? That's enough, not because of my faith, but for the sake of Christ's merits. And that's a wonderful thing, congregation. You know, and for some people, it's too easy. For some people, it seems so easy. And when you take it logically and you say, oh, it's just one and one is two, yeah, that seems to be easy. But who are those people who are receiving the promise of the gospel by a true faith that all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits? That are people who need to have their sins forgiven. Otherwise they will not come to the scriptures. They can talk about everything. They can talk about doctrine. They can talk about Jesus. They can talk about all kind of things. But they have no sins. And they have also not sins to be forgiven. And so they can go on. But all those who need to have their sins forgiven and who feel the need, oh God, when I have not my sins forgiven, I can never stand before Thee. They will come with the need of the soul to the scriptures. And the core message, the core promise of the scriptures is that those who come with all their sins to the word of God, to the Christ of the scriptures, He is ready to forgive. The power of the blood of the Lamb is enough to wash away all my sins. And whenever they receive this promise of the gospel by a true faith, do you see, congregation? All their sins, all, are really forgiven them. Are really forgiven them.
And I know this is the struggle in the life of a Christian often. Oh yes, the moment that I first believed, John Newton says, you know, that moment that faith was so strong and you could believe that, but oh, maybe the next day there is already again all the temptations and the attacks of Satan. And sometimes you will say, oh God, my sins forgiven, my sins forgiven. And when you see the reality more and more, and we will see that later on in the life of a Christian, when the Holy Spirit is discovering a sinner more and deeper, it's a life going process. How you can believe your sins are forgiven? Not when you look to yourselves. Not when you look and you go back and say, yes, 15 years ago that happens in my life and now I know my sins are forgiven. Don't believe those people who know that their sins are forgiven only because of what had happened 20 years ago. It's a danger. No, this answer is so biblical. Yes, and don't take me wrong. There is a first time in the life of a sinner. There is a first time. Yes. When Christ is revealed out of the scriptures, as we have heard this morning, that Paul says, I am through the law, am dead for the law. That's the first moment in the life of a Christian. When he comes out of death into life. When he is born again at that moment and is believing the Lord Jesus and his righteousness and receiving him. But that needs to be done every time and every day again. Isn't it? Oh, to believe that wonderful truth. And therefore, the answer says, to all and every believer, yes, also those of a little faith, also those who are so often afraid to see their own self, and they know their own hearts, and at the same time they only can go to what? To their own experience? No. To the promise of the gospel. To go back to the gospel and say, Lord, here am I with my heart full of deceit and with my Judas heart, Lord, but here am I again. But out of the scriptures thou hast teach me and thou hast taught me and thou hast revealed that for the sake of Christ and for Christ's merits, my sins are forgiven, Lord. And that's the reason that I believe it. And that's, here I am, Lord. Here am I. As often. Do you see that? Whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. Oh, and therefore, yes, justification has a starting moment in the life of a Christian, but it's an ongoing thing. Every day again, a Christian needs to hide in the wounds of Christ, needs to be again, to be assured out of the promises of Scripture, to have their sins, to know, let me say that, to know, to be assured that their sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. At the very moment that a Christian is by a true faith, is united with Christ, their sins are forgiven forever. But a Christian needs his whole life the promises of the scriptures to believe this truth. But there's all, and then that's the key. Congregation. So, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to know if you are on the way to heaven, is this your life? Is the atonement of Christ Your only hope and expectation, this Jesus and his finished work. Oh, are you willing, as we have heard this morning, to give away all your self-righteousness, because you see, it is filled with sin, Lord. But only thy finished work. Because your heart is filled with love for Christ and his righteousness, because you have seen him out of the scriptures.
But there is also an opposite. When it is not a case, in the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, and an unbeliever does not live in the world, first of all. Also, of course, also those people. But unbelievers, congregation, are people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Those people are called unbelievers. Like the Lord Jesus has spoken very clear when before he went to heaven, I will send my Holy Spirit. He will convince this world from sin. What sin? The sin of unbelief. And so those who are unbelievers and do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted. According to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. O congregation, this is a reality. My dear people, it's about your soul. Your personal soul. My dear young people, it's about your soul between God and between you. And the kingdom of heaven will be opened or locked only when we are believing the promise of the gospel. And if not, heaven is locked and hell is open. Please. No, I don't say all these things to seem to be strong or whatever. But I need to be honest, my dear people. I need to be honest with your souls. If you are out of Christ, out of his righteousness, do not believe that you are a Christian. You are not. You are not. You are called a Christian, maybe, but you are not. Heaven is closed. But oh, when you see the reality of your unbelief, that you are still such a proud sinner who is still rejecting the love of God given in Christ. And you come at his feet this afternoon and say, "Oh Lord, that's me. Forgive me my sins." Then the promise of the gospel speaks and testifies. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all their sins are forgiven today. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That are the key of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my dear congregation. Opened and shut. And how we will deal with that. How we are dealing with those things. Oh, don't sit here and go home and think, oh, maybe it will happen tomorrow. Satan will say tomorrow. But if you are still unconverted, come on your knees, please. To whom? To whom? To the Savior who has given his life for sinners like you are.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That Jesus Christ was willing to give his life for such a sinner as you are. So proud. So proud that you every day again say to God, God, not today, tomorrow maybe. I am too busy. I have to do this first. And God comes again this afternoon with the promise of the scriptures for those who are still unsaved. And he says, when you believe and you receive the promise of the gospel, I know that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith. But congregation, he is willing to give that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is willing to learn, to teach you all what you need. He has promised that you in holy baptism, like we have seen last week.
Do you see what a dangerous place you are today? Do you see? I have to be honest, I not always feel that responsibility. But it is about eternal decisions are made in this building. Eternal decisions. Who can never, never be done. How do I say it in English? Oh, when I die, I can never do it again. They are final decisions. The key of the preaching of the word. And I think this is the most important key the church is using. The preaching of the word. And therefore, oh, do you see, congregation, it's your responsibility to listen if the preaching is according to the scriptures. Because if it is not according to the scriptures, it's deceiving your soul. In what way? In all different ways. And it happens. Be aware. Satan is also going around like a roaring, not only like a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light, trying to convince people of unbiblical truth. And so, congregation, we have to be like the congregation of Berea, to search the scriptures. And so they need to be preached. But there's also a second key. And that's the key of discipline. And I was asking the youth this morning, what does that mean? The key of discipline. Well, that was quite a bit difficult to know that and to understand it. Now, on one side, it's good that we are very familiar with discipline. But it's also part of the Christian ministry, like we have read from Matthew chapter 18. So, what does that mean, the Christian discipline? Now, it's about what I'm speaking and how I'm living. So, what's my confession, and what's my daily life? And like it is a command of Christ, like we have seen it from Matthew 18, the church needs to use also that key. No, not first of all, let me say that again. Not first of all to keep people away from church or from the Lord's Supper. The key of discipline, it's about your eternal destination. Yes, and this is a very hard thing, congregation. But as a church, we are responsible also for using this key.
In what case? Now, the Lord Jesus teaches us, and please turn with me to Matthew 18. He teaches us very clear. Verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. It's about a brother. That means a brother of the church. When we see a brother or sister, when we see a member of the congregation, and a member, that means a confession, who made confession of faith, who is allowed to come to the Lord's table, who has confessed the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the congregation, when this person is living publicly in sin, everyone knows, everyone can see. I was asking this morning to the children, what often happened? Also in congregations, talking. Have you heard about that? Did you hear that? And some people are phone other people. Did you hear that? About that man, about that woman? Now the Lord Jesus teaches us a totally different way. He says, when a brother have trespassed against thee, go. Not talk with others, go to that person. And tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Visit him or her. Speak with him and be very clear. And be clear to say, this is sin against God. It is dishonoring your Lord. It's dishonoring the congregation of Christ, and you have to repent. And congregation, that's so important. That first step in discipline. Oh, how often we are looking to consistories for that, to pastors. No. We are responsible for each other. You are responsible for your fellow brother and sister, not the consistory, first of all. You. Go to your brother. And of course, yeah, it makes a big difference how you are going to your brother or sister, isn't it? When you are coming and say, oh, let me show you your sin. As a proud person, you can be assured without it will be without result. So when we talk about discipline, congregation, before I go to my brother, first of all, I have to discipline myself. To look to my own heart. Discipline in congregation starts always with myself. Oh, and I'm sure, when I see the sin in the life of my brother who is sinning in public, and when I know a bit of my own heart, I will go to my brother with so much pain, with so much love, and I will say, my dear brother, my dear sister, here am I. I'm also a sinner like you are, but what you are doing in public, it cannot be for God. It's dishonoring your Lord. So discipline starts first of all with myself, and then we have the mutual discipline. First, I go alone. And if a person, like Jesus says in verse 15, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, it both can happen. Oh, when he will hear you, you have gained a brother, and don't talk about it. Do not talk about it anymore. But when he doesn't hear, no, don't go to the consistory. Take one of your other brothers, your fellow brothers or sisters from the congregation, and go again. And talk with that person and say, what you are doing, how you are acting, that's not according to the scriptures. And then the Lord Jesus says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may establish. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then he says, tell it unto the church. Tell it unto the church. And the church congregation, the responsibility for the overseeing of the churches are the elders and their pastor. So go to your elders. And that's why we have Sensura Morum. Every time when we have the Lord's Supper, then we have Sensura Morum. And that's the moment that you have to come to church before the Lord's Supper. When you see your brother or sister sinning in public. But be sure, my first question will be, did you talk with your brother? First in person. Did you also talk with your brother with two other witnesses? If not, you will be sent back. You have to go back and you have first to do that. That's the order what Christ has given. And congregation, this is a very hard thing when you see it, but it is Christ's words. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And congregation, sometimes it takes years. And that is what I meant when I said, oh, we need so much carefulness and we need so much patience to keep talking. To keep talking to a brother or to a sister. But there can be a moment when a sinner is still living and continuing in their sin. Like Jesus said, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's excommunication. And my dear congregation, I know what happens today, often. Before you can make that decision as a consistory, people are asking for the membership papers and go to another church, if it would be possible. And of course, it's possible today because the churches are so divided. But when your consistory has to decide to excommunicate you according to the scriptures, you can go to another church, but never to heaven. Never. Heaven will be closed. Be sure. When you are continuing living in sin, heaven will be closed. And that's, I'm aware when I speak those words and but you feel, congregation, it's such a weighty thing, also church discipline. But it is also necessary. Why? Why? To keep the congregation holy. To keep the Lord's table holy. And also to save the sinner. Discipline is never a punishment. Discipline is never a punishment. That's what the world does. Discipline in church is like a medicine. When sometimes it is necessary to do those, to keep people away from the Lord's table. And you know, in our church, there are several steps of discipline. And when it is necessary to do, it's not to punish a person, but to save that person. Oh, to show him, Jehovah, you are acting and doing. It's not according to God's word. So you have to repent. And that's all in, you can find it all in the answer. I don't read it again. But when a person comes to confess her sins, and they promise and show real amendment, not only promise, also show, they are again received as members in the Church of Christ. The two keys of heaven, O congregation, when you realize that, in the years that I'm a pastor, I have never experienced that we have to excommunicate a person. Although we need sometimes to exclude people from the Lord's table, that's also a measure of discipline. That's a measure of discipline. And children, that's why we have at the Lord's table always two elders at the table standing over there as watchers. Because when people are under discipline, they are not allowed to come to the Lord's table. And the elders know who they are. And they have to keep them away. Because they have no right to come to the Lord's table. To keep the Lord's table holy. But let it never become so far. Because it is often by reason of pride. But a true Christian, I am sure, isn't it? A true Christian is the first who will confess his sins. And will say, Lord, that is true. When my brother is pointing to me, to my sins, Lord, I am grieving thee. Oh Lord, forgive me my sins. And we have heard already that God is willing to forgive every sin. And heaven is open again. And so, the keys of the kingdom of heaven given in the hands of human beings. And let me close with that, what I already have said today. That key has been used in your heart and in your life. And you know, if the door went open, if that will be your future, to be with Christ forever, or not. And therefore, not only when we will have the Lord's Supper in our midst, but examine your heart. I have to do the same thing. Examine your heart. And that's how we will speak about the law also in the coming weeks. Then we will discover the reality to be a sinner. And therefore the gospel, for those people, is the gospel. That's their hope. And that's their expectation. Because they need Christ and His blood every day again. And then will be the future in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. The door has been unlocked in this world. Yes. And they will enter and be with Christ forever. Amen. Let's sing together. Psalter 207, verse 3. When from heaven thy sentence sounded, all the earth in fear was still, while to save the meek and lowly, God in judgment wrought his will and what follows. 207, verse 3. Let's pray. O Lord, when we come to Thee at the end of this service, at the end of the service of this day, and we have heard about the law this morning, but also actually in this afternoon. Oh, when we look into the law and we see ourselves, the reality, O Lord, then only the law can be silent, like we have heard this morning. When we are in Christ, and when we are hiding in Christ, who we can find in the promises of the Scripture. And O Lord, we pray, oh, that the congregation might know these things in his life, in the life, in the personal lives. Oh, to know through the law, I'm dead for the law, to live unto God. Oh, then the key will open the door for life eternal. And otherwise, O Lord, the door will be locked. And we pray, O Thou knowest our hearts, make us faithful, Lord. Convince Thou us, O Holy Spirit, please, when we are still unconverted. And grant us, Lord, when we spoke about the second key of discipline, that we first of all discipline ourselves, examine ourselves before Thee, O Lord, to find forgiveness for our own hearts and lives time and again. Oh, then we will be honest with our neighbors and with our brothers and sisters, but also full of compassion. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, oh, keep Thy church holy, and give us all what we need to use those keys also as a consistory. Oh Lord, Thou hast given us such irresponsible task. And who are we? And who am I? Whom am I? Oh, I pray, Lord, oh, grant us Thy Holy Spirit every time again. Also in this week, when we have to prepare for the coming Lord's Day, oh, that there also might be a prayer, a strong prayer from the congregation for their office bearers, we pray. We pray, Lord, be with us when we also will have this evening again the sing-along with our youth. Oh, give us a blessed evening together. Bless all the activities in the coming week with Thy presence and with Thy Holy Spirit. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. In closing, we will sing Psalter 9, stanzas 2 and 3. Psalter 9, 2 and 3.
Ye congregation, go in peace and lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.